All right, what's going on? It's Friday. That's right. It is Friday before New Year's. New Year's Eve, whichever you want to say. Before the new freaking year. 2018 is here. Just about. It is. So anyway, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. My name is Bay Ragney, and you're listening to Totally Driven Radio Rocks. That's right. And we're doing a little special, a little special Friday afternoon episode. And you know why? Because we got this killer band, Casualty of God. I did this killer interview the other day with Chris Renshaw, the front man, lead singer, and they got a big show coming up, New Year's Eve, at the Whiskey A Go-Go. So if you're out there in Hollywood, California, get your ass over to the Whiskey A Go-Go, go over, check out Casualty of God, see Chris, talk to Chris, tell him you're Totally Driven, and you dig what they're doing. Because I said so. How about that? Thank you. So I talked to Chris the other day. Super cool dude. Really interesting story. We talk about all types of things in life. We talk, a little bit of past life that ended up in prison. We talk about musical career. We talk about his operatic classical training as a singer. We talk about hanging himself. That's right, hanging himself for a promotional photo, which... if you're watching the slideshow of pictures that go along here on Blog Talk Radio as this show is playing, you'll see it. I included it. So you're going to hear it all. You're going to hear the good, the bad, the ugly, and you're going to get to hear the music. So let's do it. Let's start the show. Let's play some music. Let's do a couple tunes. We'll play the interview. We'll play some more music. Let's kick it off. King of Fools, Casualty of God.
Oh, feeling tired. I'm waiting, bending over. Heaven help us, we have suffered. My love never end, feeding always pushing. Manipulation always pushing. Manipulation, my love never end, feeding. Always pushing, manipulation, always pushing, manipulation, always pushing, manipulation, my love, never end of feeling. I am the enemy, growing weaker, afraid of suffering.
Ragney here, and there you go, Casualty of God. That tune was called Immortals, and we kicked it off with King of Fools. And before we get into the interview, we're going to kick off something else. I got to pay my bills, so we're going to take a quick commercial break. Give me 3 minutes of your time, and let me pay my bills, keep the music going, keep the interviews flowing, the network afloat, and let's do this. And check out our first sponsor here especially. He's not only a good friend, he's a comedian, he's a funny man, he's freaking hysterical, and most of all, he is a superhero. Check him out. He's Black Man. ChrisFraleyPresents.com.
I'm Black Man, saving mankind, one stereotype at a time.
To the Black Mobile. To the corner of Martin Luther King Street and Malcolm X Boulevard. Pronto.
Will Black Man make it to the crime on time? Or will he be on CPT? Stay tuned at ChrisFraleyPresents.com.
Attention business owners, website owners, event promoters, or anyone looking to promote your product. The Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network is the perfect way to spread the word of your business around the world. That's right, you can advertise at our network and be played on all of our shows at rates that are so cheap, it's a no-brainer. For more information, contact Bay Ragney at bayragney@gmail.com. To keep your business driven, stay driven with Totally Driven Entertainment.
Are you a fan of Sherlock Holmes? Letters from Holmes offers unique, one-of-a-kind letters from the world-famous detective himself. Handwritten on 8.5-inch by 11-inch aged parchment paper and using smudge-free ink to produce original, high-quality letters that fans will treasure for years to come. Each letter is handcrafted and written from the perspective of Sherlock Holmes, mimicking Holmes's native tongue and embracing many of the famous detective's quirks, quips, insults, and peculiarities. Order a love letter, birthday greeting, personal correspondence, or more only at www.etsy.com/shop/letters-from-Holmes.
For $5 today, you can buy a wealth of things. Gas for your car, rent a movie for the family, a few slices of pizza. $5 still takes you a long ways. But did you know that $5 can buy your child a bag of heroin on the streets? That's right. For only $5, your son or daughter can buy some of the cheapest and purest dope in the country. Be aware of the lies. Be aware of the stealing. Be aware that's all it takes to kill your child. $5. This message was brought to you by Casey's Cause, a group of parents located in Southern Chester County out to save your child's life. Come join us today at www.caseyscause.com. And remember, $5 is all it takes. Casey's Cause, www.caseyscause.com.
Looking for that perfect gift for your girlfriend? Then look no further than Teddy Scares. Teddy Scares are available in a variety of styles, sizes, and prices for all your shopping needs. Teddy Scares are a mix of cute and creepy to make a great gift for almost any age. Board up your windows, lock your doors, and log on to TeddyScares.com. And be sure to become our friends at Facebook.com/TeddyScares.
Calling all comic book fans. Do you collect comics? Did you ever collect comics? Do you think your children might like reading comic books? Do you even know they still print real, paper, non-digital comic books? Well then visit the Pirates of Ontario Street Comics in Philadelphia. We have a massive collection of comic books, action figures, trading cards, and much more. We have one of the largest stocks of back-issue comics in the area. We bag and board every new comic book at no extra charge. Our store is voted the best comic book shop in the 2013 PHL 17 Hot List Contest. Part of the movie Unbreakable is filmed in our store. We are open 7 days a week. Ontario Street Comics is located at 2235 East Ontario Street in the Port Richmond section of Philly. Our phone number is 215-288-7338. Type in the words Ontario Comics Philadelphia to check out our wacky stores page on Facebook.
There we go.
Merry Christmas.
Can you hear me? Merry Christmas. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. So you survived Christmas, it's over, and we got 364 more days to recoup.
I think as I get older, I learn how to circumvent the things I don't like about Christmas in a tactful way, which works good for me.
Can you teach me, really? Because I honestly don't like it no more. I just don't. I sit there. And I, you know, as we're older now, and I you have children, right?
Yeah, too.
Yeah, so it's now it's like, do you have like the constant stress of feeling like I didn't do enough? It's like I need to do
you
more.
You do. I know. I used to feel that way until my kids got a little older, and then I just give them money.
You know what? Like my kids are older now too, and I have a 20-year-old daughter and. A 13-year-old daughter, and with the 20-year-old, yeah, it's kind of like it's not that bad. It's with the 13-year-old that I stress more over because I feel like
it's the younger ages. You want them to be blown away by what you've done for them. I know I was the same way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's weird because I guess it's the generation now because they're not really into things that you can blow them away with.
Right, and they know. It seems like they know more than we do about what's hip and what's new and technology and all that stuff. So it's like my daughter's always showing me new stuff on like social media, and she's like, "You don't know this. You don't know the short keys. You don't know." I'm just like, okay, no, I don't. Enlighten me.
or how about do you get the? You don't know this YouTuber?
Yeah. Oh, you don't know this guy? Oh yeah, he's the biggest thing, and he's gone viral. I'm like, oh, had no idea.
Yeah,
yeah he lives 3 blocks away. By the way,
lucky you.
Yeah, lucky me. Yeah,
you need to go over there and tell him to put you in one of his videos to help you expose
you
more.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you got to use everybody. I mean, that's just kind of how it goes. So
yeah. That's a whole new world, and it's that whole that's what my 13-year-old, that's what she does. Like,
she does
watch
YouTube
and video games. Like, that's all she cares about. And I just sit there and scratch my head, like, what the hell's going on here?
And where is this going to lead her down the road, I wonder, you know?
That's even scarier.
Yeah, you know, that was something I always thought about with my kids. It's like, where is this going to take them? Sometimes the phase, and sometimes it leads them into a career or whatever. You just never know. So,
right.
Yeah. But it's fun.
Scary world. Scary world.
It is a scary world. Yeah, for sure.
But you get to put that scariness in the music.
I do, yeah. I do get to put the scariness in the music, yeah. I'm a little bit creepy myself, so I guess not super hard for me.
Oh, man. It's creepiness. You have an interesting story. Let's face it. I mean, you did some time in prison.
Yeah.
That's creepy in itself.
It is, yeah. I wouldn't trade it for the world. Up until I went to prison, I was a fairly unscathed human being that really had no prior experiences to draw from.
Wow.
I know that sounds kind of like, oh, that's great. You were really you were well taken care of. But I was so well taken care of that most of where my mindset would be for writing was in, you know, fabricated imagery instead of real life experience. And, you know, so there's a balance, you know, you got to have a balance if you want to really do real stuff. So
now, were you,
you
doing
need life experience.
Music? Were you doing music before?
Prior?
Yes.
Yeah. So basically, I realized early on in my music career that money, I needed money. I needed as much money as I could get because it's expensive. And I was willing to do whatever it took to make the almighty dollar to, you know, push my music career. So I rolled the dice, you know. I was willing to give anything for it. Deal with the devil, whatever.
Right.
You know.
So you made a deal with
crazy,
the devil.
But I totally would have done anything. Huh?
So you made a deal with the devil and got caught, sounds like.
Got caught, that's right, yeah. Yeah.
Now,
yeah, but go ahead.
With that, like, as you were in there doing your time, like, were you putting together, like, in your head, like, musical groundwork and starting to write music while in there?
Sure, because I was in a federal institution. It was a federal crime. So, for the time I was in there, they have a lot of amenities available for art and music. And I just started writing. I wrote, a good portion of what's in there during that time.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, that's that's a place where you're really going to find yourself. So, I mean, one of the songs I was reading about and listening to on there, I mean, I'm guessing that's one of the songs you wrote in there was I Love You?
Yeah. A bit of a tribute to my family if I was to pass away.
That's so deep. Like, I can't even imagine because it's funny because, like, on our show here, we do a live show on Thursday nights, and my one of my co-hosts, we do from time to time, we'll do, like, these little countdown lists of music, and we'll throw out a category like, you know, top three songs that remind you of your mom or your dad or this situation in life or whatever. And, like, 3 months ago, he said to me, he goes, dude, here goes, let's do the top three songs you want played at your funeral. And I couldn't do it. Like, it was so, like, deep and scary and just was, like, freaking me out. Like, I couldn't do it. So you turn around and you wrote a song about you, like you're saying, in tribute to yourself, to your family, after you would pass away, if that would happen. Like, I can't imagine.
Sure. Yeah, it stirs up a lot of emotions. And I realized, you know, thank God I realized, is that I love art. I do. I love art, and I love it to a fault, almost.
Sure.
And I hate fake stuff. I despise it heavily. So everything that I do, I try to do it as real as I possibly can. I don't know if you've seen any of the hanging pictures that we did, but of a lot of some of the photography we did, I was like, everybody wanted these promo pics and band pics and whatnot. I'm like, did you have you guys hanging me from a tree? That's real enough, right?
So, oh, cow.
It generated a lot of interest, no doubt, and a lot of people. Some people wouldn't even listen to the album initially because they thought it was so gruesome that I was being hung from a tree that they didn't want to take a listen. That's all right too, though.
Well, but I mean that's a good way to freak people out and get a little bit of notoriety, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there's no bad publicity at all. So I'm good with either.
Holy cow. Like, what did your family think when they saw those pictures?
Oh, they hated it. They absolutely hated it. And they're like, it's so gross. You look so bloated and gross. Because to do it, I was in a safety harness, no doubt. But the brunt of the weight was still on my neck because the safety harness pushes you forward.
Okay.
So the weight of your body does pull on your neck and basically shut your windpipe off a bit. So you start to closes a lot of veins off. So you start to bloat up and get all weird looking really quick. So
holy cow.
So yeah, they were not. They're like, what if something happens? What if the harness breaks? I'm like, well then, you know, throw some flowers on my grave. Whatever.
Oh. So I'm hoping there was only one take that needed done of this, one attempt at this, to get enough shots.
Well, so it would have been that way, but a police officer drove by and saw me hanging from the tree. So it complicated things for a minute or two, but we got it done. You know, they frown upon that stuff definitely. So
yeah, I can imagine.
It was fun, though, honestly. I had a great time.
Now, who gave you more of the flack? Was it the family or the police?
The family. God, my old lady just hated it. She thought it was just the grossest, weirdest thing ever. She wanted nothing to do with it. And she's like, I don't think you should use those pictures. I'm like, dude, it looks so real, though, right? She's like, yeah, it just, I don't know. I'm like, that's cool. Edgy stuff's cool. It like just it drives the machine. I love that. You know.
That's
the cool thing about art. There's no wrong or right. You just do what you feel.
Sure. Yeah, you know, it's from the heart. As long as it's from the heart and it's real, like you said.
Yeah. You know, if you believe in it, and if someone hates it, God, it just makes me want to do it more. You know. I thrive on that, so I'm all for it.
No, like the band members were they encouraging this? Did you like think to yourself like, oh shit, like they don't care if I die?
You know, I did have to kind of talk them into it. They loved the idea, but they really came from a safety standpoint. They thought it was reckless. And I was like, hey, I got this Cabela's harness. I got some really good rope. Don't worry about it. It'll be fine. We'll have a ladder there. You know, if something happens, just get me down really quick. It's cool.
So, oh, man.
Yeah, I was able to talk him into it, nonetheless, yeah.
Oh, that's
so what we do for rock and roll, right?
Right on. Right on. It's all for rock and roll.
It's all for rock and roll.
Now, your guitar player, I mean, like, he's a real young dude.
He's really young, yeah. Super young,
How'd
yeah.
How'd you guys go?
So I used to be in a national band, The Flood. We toured with Static X and a whole bunch of other bands and whatnot. And he came and tried out for the band because we were going through guitar players left and right. I just hadn't found the right person. And he came and tried out, but as my band members thought that he was winning like blues contest at 14 years old. So
oh, wow.
he's really young and he's really, really good. So people are like, you know, if you got any kind of ego at all and you have somebody that young and good in your band, you're not really going to want him there. Which, you know, ego holds everybody back from doing anything beautiful. So basically they talked me out of having him in the band specifically because he was too young. So seeing his talent and knowing how good he was, I started Casualty of God with him. I was like, hey, this kid's great. And he has zero ego, which is odd at that age.
Right.
So I had enough ego for like 10 people during that time. So, finding somebody who was very cool. Yeah. So yeah, that's how I started. Casualty of God is through Cody.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Now, how about like with the album you guys did? You actually you worked with Alex Kane.
Yeah, Alex is a really good friend of mine. Love that guy.
It's funny because he actually he was my first interview I ever did back when he was doing Antiproduct.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
That is so cool.
Yeah, it was actually Karen hooked it up, and they were out here on tour. They came to Allentown, Pennsylvania, and went out there and got to meet him and did the interview backstage. And I'll never forget, like, I was shitting myself. It was like the first interview I did, and I was just like, oh, fuck, like, okay. Yeah, super cool dude. Super fun. I'll never forget that.
He's a sweet dude. Yeah.
Yeah.
Aside from being a bit cynical, he's amazing. I'd be cynical too, though. No, he's awesome. Yeah, and the fact is that album wouldn't have happened without him. Yeah.
Oh man, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So no, with the you were saying you did you were in the band The Flood beforehand, did some national touring and stuff like that. Now was that all before the whole prison thing or after or?
Right. After, yeah, that was
okay.
That was after.
Okay, so it wasn't like you were in prison and then you put like Casualty of the God together in your head in prison then.
No, actually, I didn't use any of the songs I'd written in The Flood for. I didn't use any of the art that I did that in prison for that band. I used it for Casualty of God.
Oh wow! Okay.
Well, there was something that told me that that particular chapter in my life wasn't the right thing for what I
right.
wanted to do. And so I just kept it separated, which I think served me well.
Did you think maybe of just doing, like, Chris Renshaw at any time, or just you knew you were going to go into, like, the next project as a band together and it would be a band-type situation?
No, I had been putting all the pieces together of Casualty of God really early on. I just, how can I explain it? I didn't have the true intent of my art mapped out until I started Casualty of God. So all these little things I was coming up with during the time, I just kept saving them until it kind of revealed itself to me. I know it sounds
right.
kind of metaphysical and weird, but I mean, that's kind of how it was. I just kept writing. And I think as an artist myself, I hadn't fully come into myself yet. I was a really late bloomer for whatever reason. And the things that I was hearing and the music and whatnot, nobody was playing it. So I was like, oh, well, no one's playing it, so it's not happening yet. So it'll happen. And
right.
it did. And eventually it all came to light, so.
Now, when you're doing something like that, though, I mean, you like, where you're start basically, you know, hiding things for yourself and putting plans together for yourself. I mean, you kind of, like, are also saying to yourself, like, you know, like, the end is near with what you're doing.
Yeah, no, I did. I did know mainly from the people's own intentions in the band that it wasn't going to survive.
Right.
The other thing was is you're only as good as your weakest link.
Gotcha.
And it doesn't matter how much you love somebody, you're still only as good as your weakest link. So I knew it was doomed to fail at some point.
Right.
Because I wanted something better.
Right.
So, yeah. But honestly, I never thought I'd be able to assemble the people that I have now. That didn't actually factor. I, at one point, thought that me and Cody would be out there playing this stuff to backing tracks, just him and I. That actually was the original intent.
Really?
Yeah. You've got Gene Hoglan on the album. I really didn't anticipate having somebody that was as good as what Dylan Bennett or Gene Hoglan is on the album. I thought for sure that we would be playing the backing tracks or doing something. Because I wanted to pull it off and have it sound cool, you know?
Sure.
Even if I didn't have the people, I was like, we'll still make this entertaining. We'll do our best, and we'll travel light because, you know, honestly, it's a lot easier to bring two people than it is four.
Right.
So that was
originally
my thought. So, but it,
Holy cow.
Worked itself out. Yeah. Weird, huh?
I mean, that right there, it kind of shows you like, truly the struggle of, you know, I mean, people think to yourself, especially nowadays, like, oh, being in a band is so easy and putting together music is so easy nowadays and this and that. But that right there shows you it's really not. As simple as it is because of the technology, putting those...
You still got to write good songs and you got to keep it together. And you know, I'm married to these people. It is absolutely a relationship. You got to kill each other with kindness and you got to be good to each other. And the better you are to each other, the better the music is, you know?
Yeah.
And people pick up on that stuff. People can tell if you hate each other. The music suffers. The art suffers, you know? It's not a path to go if you want any kind of endurance, you know?
Now, how about, you actually had like, classical opera training for vocals, doing that and then going into metal, like, was that the plan? Like,
so, I had the same teacher, Lane Staley, from Alice in Chains had, and Wilson, the Meister David Kyle was his name, amazing teacher. And the best way to explain it is that opera singing is the most technical and challenging of all singing, okay?
Okay.
And if you learn all the ground-based principles that are attached to that style, all the other styles of singing will come much easier if you've been taught correctly. So that was the idea behind learning from, you know, somebody so well-educated. That I would have all the tools I needed to do what I'm doing now.
Wow.
So, 5 years of school.
Holy cow.
5 years, 3 days a week. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's intense.
Yeah, it was intense. And honestly, I didn't even really... It took another 5 years for it just to even soak in and start really retaining and have it become, you know, an extension of myself. Before, it was just like I understood what he was saying, but I wasn't exactly applying it like I should. But that just takes practice. You just got to play constantly.
Yeah, there was one song that, like, you can hear. What song was it? It was towards the end of the song. Slow Death.
Mm-hmm.
And towards the end, you get the singing you're doing. I'm like, ah, you can definitely hear there the training that came into place there.
Right. Yeah. Now it's more like it's an extension of myself. You know, it's
sure.
It keeps evolving constantly. This new album we've been working on has been crazy. Like every single song, you're recreating the same feeling every single time, hoping to get closer to the feeling that you initially felt. That's the way I explain the art that I do, art that we do. And we've never been closer to replicating what I always hoped and intended for it to sound like, which is, it makes it really fun.
Or really difficult or trying.
It's become easier because it's almost like, you know, like you're turning a station, you know, on the radio. Like you're flipping through and you're hitting all the different wavelengths and frequencies.
Okay.
It's kind of like that. When you get a solid group of people together that all have a common interest and you start honing in the frequency, it doesn't get more difficult. It may sound more difficult, but it actually, in reality, is easier because you're all resonating on the same frequency.
Right.
That makes sense?
Sure. Sure.
Yeah.
You know, actually, it kind of like the band The Butcher Babies. Like, that's a band, like, I say to myself, like, you can hear, like, and I've interviewed them a few years ago, and the question I have for them, if I get the chance to get them back on, is, like, has it gotten easier? Because you can hear the growth of them over the years in their songwriting, and, like, they have some songs that are, like, you know, that's just a freaking radio hit right there. And then they have these ones that'll just, like, kick you in the balls and kick your ass. And it's just like, is it easier now for them to write those radio-friendly songs? And I guess it's kind of like that for, you know, people with their art. Does it get easier in certain aspects?
Right. It does, especially if you have a solid group of people. Because what happens is you start picking up on cues. You're like, oh.
Okay.
That formula worked. Okay, well, what was it about that formula that we put into that piece that grew so exponentially? Why did that happen? And then you
Sure.
pick it apart, and then you figure out, oh, that formula. That's why, you know, a lot of people hate this about music, but it's something that I grew to love, is that a lot of people that have their big favorite band, Pink Floyd, you know, Tool, you know, Tea Party, whoever it is that you love, many of the song structures sound very similar. And the reason being is that they found a formula that came the closest to projecting that feeling that they're forever trying to capture. So you write from that premise, hoping to slowly build on it.
Right.
You know, and what's interesting is some bands or some artists, you'll hear they've got 10 songs and they've got one that was just magical, and then you don't ever hear another one again.
Yeah.
Which is an anomaly that happens if you didn't quite know how it happened, if you didn't pick it apart and you didn't look at it and find out what made it tick. Then it was luck, basically.
Right.
But for the bands that really figure it out, you know, they figure out the formula and they run with it. And it's good. It makes life a lot easier, I will say.
You know, that's a really interesting way to really look at it and break it down for, like, you know, all these people throughout the years who've had these one-hit wonders, and people who have had those first hit and they are able to keep building and build a career, and you know, people ask that eternal question, like, why was there no more hits? And I guess that's kind of like probably the first time I've ever heard an answer to that, is like, they just never figured out the formula to keep
they never really knew to begin with. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty wild, man.
I've spent a lot of time, had a lot of time to think.
Now, how about over your career, you've had music put in the, you know, in TV and film and all, but now you have a UFC fighter using one of your songs. Like, how different is that for you?
Well, it's cool, you know, because one, he's an athlete, so having an athlete as a friend as well as somebody that you're working on art with is cool, because I get to run with him all the time, so that's awesome.
Oh, cool. It
keeps me in shape, you know. So we were good friends before I was doing art with him, and it's really cool that I was able to step out of my own comfort zone and write about something that I would probably never write about. Like, I'm a pacifist. I don't believe in hitting people ever. So getting in his shoes and, you know, using the terminology and learning about it and going and watching the fights just gave me a whole new world to dive into. You know, a similar thing happened when I wrote a song for Saw 6.
Okay.
And they said, just go wild with it. Just do whatever you want. I'm like, go wild with it. Oh, okay. So I wrote a song about a serial killer, you know, so... It's cool because when you do that, it just completely gets you out of your element, and you can write about something you would never think about.
Right.
Or if you are thinking about it, you know, you're keeping it buried down pretty deep. That it doesn't ever surface.
So now there's like an interesting story, too, in your bio where that makes me wonder now, what hurt worse, you hanging yourself for a photo shoot or getting run over by a car?
Yeah, that was a really surreal day, getting run over by a car. And then so we were having bus problems that day. And I'm a fairly mechanical person. I love building cars and building bikes. It's a hobby of mine.
Okay.
I've done it since I was a kid. And the knuckleheads on the bus, they couldn't effectively run the bus to save their lives if it was the last thing they had to do. So they kept saying, oh, there's something wrong with the bus. There's something wrong with the bus. It's broken or something like that. I'm going, go ahead. You turn the jake brake off. They're like, oh, there's no way we left that on. So I walk on board the bus. It's sitting there spitting and sputtering. Sounds like it's going to blow up. I said, hey, next time turn the jake brake off. And I walked off and I was like, I got to get away from you guys. So they're just creating chaos, you know. And we've got a show to play in Missoula, Montana. It's at the Wilma Theater. It's a big show. And everyone's just complaining about the bus. So I go for a walk. And my mindset when I went for the walk was, I'm going to calm down. I want to punch these guys, but I'm just going to walk. I'm going to calm down. I'm not going to be mad at anybody. So I'm actually paying attention to all the crosswalks. Have you ever done that where, like, you're angry and so you get extra cautious?
Okay, yeah.
About stuff?
Sure.
So I'm, like, following all the traffic signs. Like, when it says walk, I walk. It says there's not enough time left. I don't even go across. So I'm in the process of crossing. And a dude runs the red light on a left-hand turn. And I get run over. And I'm just like,
holy
really?
Shit.
I was just more angry and irritated. So I saw what happened. He was on his phone. He dropped his phone out of his hand. And he went down to grab it and turned the corner and ran me over at the same time. I was just like, really? Wow. You know, you just never know. Yeah. Never been hit by a car before until that day.
Holy
Still
cow.
Still play the show. It was great, though. It was a killer show. I had a lot of adrenaline going. The day was just a complete wreck. So it worked.
Now, did you have to like walk back to the club where you got your the place where you were going to play, or did you get a ride?
I did. I didn't even have him. I didn't even have him take me in the aid car. I was just like, you know what? I'm just going back to the bus. I'll call you if I get nauseous.
Holy cow!
Stay with the ER like the next day, but yeah. Yeah, it was quite a day. The show must go on.
Man. The show must go on, right?
Yeah.
All in the name of rock and roll, like we said earlier.
All in the name of rock and roll. That's right. That's how you do it.
So, now, what's the plans for 2018 for you guys? You guys going to do any touring, working on new music, or?
Well, I wanted to be the Emperor of the Universe. That was my number one goal. But I would settle for taking over the planet.
There you go. Start small, work your way bigger.
You know, that's right. You got to start somewhere. Really, I think what we're going to be doing is touring as much as we possibly can with this album. And in the process, start tracking the next one. Just get crazy good at playing this stuff. That's the thing, just being a well-oiled machine. So people, you know, it's nice because people now, we've got a few fans that have seen us more than once. I'm not even joking. When people came and saw us for the first couple shows, they just stood there and looked at us like we were nuts. I'm like, this stuff isn't that weird. Why are you just standing there looking at you? You're not cheering. You're not saying anything. Are we really playing it bad? I'm not sure what's going on. And then we started getting feedback, and I'm like, oh, you just don't know how to react. I get it. All right. I guess that works for me. So people are starting to react, though, which is cool. It's nice to see.
Yeah, it's good.
It is.
It seems like, you know what, though? It goes back to, again, like we were talking earlier on, like the new generation, like, when I go out to shows, I kind of see that. Like, even though if it's music, or like the other night I went to a comedy show, it's like, it seems like people don't know how to react anymore. Like, they just are like expressionless. Like, they're like scared to show emotion or anything anymore.
Yeah, they're like zombies.
Yeah,
it's the weirdest thing, and it seems more frequent now with all forms of art than just with music. Like I notice it all over the place. People are really not easily affected.
Right.
I think because they're always so stimulated to begin with.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's the only thing that makes sense. So, you know, I think at this point, if people saw a big, giant mothership come out of the sky, I honestly don't think it'd be that big of a deal. I mean, they'd be excited, no doubt, and there would be noise. But I really don't think it would be that big of a surprise.
They'd be too busy taking pictures for Snapchat or something, or Facebook Live.
Snapchat. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Did you see this? Oh, my God. I knew it.
Oh, man. So, man, actually, you guys are playing. Now, this is a weird combo. New Year's Eve at the Whiskey with LA Guns and Pussycat. And I was kind of thinking that, like, the crowd might be kind of, like, not know how to react to you guys.
Yeah, that's going to be a weird show for sure. Yeah. I mean, I'm excited to play, no doubt. Because it'll be our first show out of town, actually. We haven't gone anywhere yet. But, yeah, I mean, it is going to be a strange show. Should be fun, though.
Absolutely.
It'll be extra weird. Extra weird is always good with me.
There you go. It's time to get weird.
And people are, you know what, honestly, people are dying for some to be moved. That's what people want. Whether they know it or not, people want to be moved by something. The mundane is the mundane. You know what I mean?
Right, right. I agree. People need to be moved.
People need to be moved, and they're looking for some type of new renaissance in the art industry. So hopefully we'll do our best to make some fun stuff happen for people.
Nice. Cool. So where should we send everybody to like you, love you, follow you, buy the music, spread the word?
You can go to eBay, you know, Casualty of God, eBay. You can go to iTunes. CasualtyofGod.com has lots of info. Facebook, Casualty of God on Facebook. SoundCloud. Anything you can think of, I think we're there.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's how we have to do it now. Just everywhere that people can go, just be on there.
Yeah, you can't give them any. You need to give everybody wants every option. That's sort of how it is.
Yep.
So give them every option, you know?
That's it.
That works for me.
Solves the problem.
Yeah.
Dude, well, this was great talking to you, man. Really nice conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, it was nice talking to you as well.
You too, man. And I hope, hopefully, maybe you guys get out here on the East Coast, come out here to Philly, and cheesesteaks on me.
I love Allentown. I'm coming by that area. We're going everywhere. It's happening.
Oh, nice. Cool.
Yep. For sure.
Well, hopefully I'll see you in 2018 then.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
Sounds good, man. Take care, Chris. Thanks for everything, and I'll let you know when I'll be airing this.
Sounds good, man. Thank you so much.
Thanks, man. Take care.
Yep, you too. Bye.
Mind, precision, the body and the mechanism. Midnight to deliver, crush the body.
Welcome back to Ginger Dirty Rocks. There you go. That tune was called The Cleansing, and before that, Mechanism. Two more songs. We talked about some of them songs in the interview. I hope you enjoyed it. Chris is a good dude. The band's a good bunch of guys. Check them out. Look up Casualty of God. Go on Facebook. Check them out. Go to our website. Get the music. Buy it. Oh, did I say buy it? That's right. It's available on iTunes, so get it. And also, too, remember what I said. If you're in the Hollywood area this coming weekend, New Year's Eve, go down to the Whiskey A Go-Go, the infamous Whiskey A Go-Go on Sunset Strip. They're playing with Faster Pussycat and LA Guns. And there's a few other bands as well. But make sure you get there. Check out Casualty of God and be prepared to have your ass kicked rock and roll style. So there you go, everybody. Thanks for tuning in again. My name is Bay Ragney, and as you can tell, I'm sick and congested and have a cold, and honestly, I feel like shit. So I'm going to wrap it up now. I'm going to spare you. But I hope everybody has a happy, safe, healthy, prosperous new year. Let's kick ass in 2018 together. Let's do this. Let's make the world a totally different place. Look for me on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Just look for Bay Ragney or Totally Driven Entertainment or Totally Driven Radio. And remember, stay driven, everybody. Until next time, see ya!